that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, the last Saturday in January of 2021, January 30th. And we welcome you here, and we've got some men on with us. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Paul from, well, we'll just say good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
And we welcome you, the Remnant. We thank you for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And again, the program is Coffee with the Wranglers. Pastor put it together as an opportunity for Christian men to gather together for fellowship and to talk about maybe the events of the day as the Holy Spirit led. But to be able to sit around with their Bibles open and some good coffee and have some good Christian fellowship. That is so missing in the land today. It is. But we always try to start out with a prayer. That's always good to do. And Jason, we'll ask you to open us up with a prayer, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction we're to go. We pray that you be with your people across this land, that you tend to the sheep of your pasture. Father, we just ask that you just shine your face down upon us and allow our cup to overflow with blessings from your throne. Father, we pray that you use us in a mighty and powerful way for the destruction of fortresses. We ask, Father, that you war with those that war against us. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and just protect us and give us the wisdom that we need to have in the times that we're living in. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And, this Christian fellowship that is lacking in the land today has always been a part of our culture, our heritage. From, I think all the way back from the feast days. You know, that's what they would do. They would get together and talk and discuss things, and it's been, again, throughout our culture, whether it was in small Irish pubs that have become, you know, the butt of jokes anymore, but again, part of our heritage, to gathering together Saturday afternoon, maybe in town, or you know, the old men playing checkers out at the old general store. And it's just that has all but been gone, even church. So few. So few attend church, and unfortunately there's few that have the opportunity to gather and converse with like-minded Christians. And so Pastor, in his wisdom, saw that this was at least an opportunity, at least for an hour, to be able to tune in and talk about the events of the day with like-minded Christians, and not just with the the Judeo-Christians or the, you know, it seems like anymore when the people get together, it has to involve drinking to excess and the language, and anyway, it's a different concept. So that's what we're doing here. We welcome you again. The phone lines are open today. Plenty going on, And I guess what made me think about that gathering was coming into town. Been down printing the newsletter this week, and when we come into town, there's a big cement plant over on one side of the road, and right across the street, there's a little building. I think it used to be part of an old gas station, but it can't be probably 15 feet by 20 feet inside. And it looked like they'd open it up as a small bar the other day. Came by, it had an open sign in the window, and three or four people in there. It's got a big picture window when you drive by. I didn't stop and go in, but that's what it looked like. And I thought, you know, well, maybe that's just hopefully people not getting drunk, but just hanging out and talking and talking about the events of the day. I think that at least online, a lot more of that is going on with the social media. At least by some, probably not by many, but. Anyway, well, Paul, we'll go out to Michigan. How do you see things out there this morning?
Well, I don't know. It depends how you look at it. If you know the word, it's pretty good. But if you see the world, it looks like it's in chaos. So, but that's what a lot of this social distance. They don't want us talking to each other. You know, you put a few beers in a guy and he starts talking honestly, you know, there's excesses too, but, and they don't want us talking. I think Peter, that's why they're so hard on drunk drivers. They don't want you talking to each other. And, because when you start talking, then the rebellion starts happening. So, it's due for it. And I guess they're having a big, meeting in Lansing today of all the kids so they can get their sports back, you know. Right, wrong, or different, but I mean, people are becoming stirred up a little bit, and it's a good thing. You know, there's a lot of good coming out of this, really. You start, you know, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I'm Lord." You know, don't get hurt to be separated from other people for a little bit. You know, we need to have our. That's what the Sabbath is for—to recharge your battery. You know, I remember going to the church I was raised in and stuff, and. Them guys would go outside and they'd stand in a circle and they were smoking and talking. They never once talked about the sermon. Always about worldly things, you know, and it just really struck me that that sermon had no effect on them. It was just a show. So anyway, the show's just about over. God's going to get our attention one way or another.
Yeah, it sure seemed like he has gotten some people's attention, that some eyes are being opened. That some people are coming to the realization. I think maybe even if, like you said, they, because everything's shut down, they've been forced to spend more time with their family. Maybe as fathers or mothers working out, you know, full-time jobs in the workplace. And then, you know, they've gone in opposite directions and the children's gone in a third direction. because they're at school and, like you said, sports and everything else. And this is has caused people to at least families to have to spend more time together. Some have been at each other's throats, and but some have grown closer and realized what the what is important.
Yeah, it go both ways. You know what I mean? Depends who you are.
I guess.
What you know? What's important to you? You know, a lot of these young people have both people are working. You know, and you know that there's some really good things come out of this. And
yes.
I don't know where you know where all this money's coming. The government's got it's just paper. I mean, they're just building up a paper castle. I mean, it ain't based on productivity.
No, not at all. My daughter was over last night, and we were talking about this, you know, $15 an hour minimum wage that's being just rammed down the people's throat, and the consequences of that, how that destroys jobs, how that makes something in the mind of the people that it never was intended to be. You know, the minimum wage, my 16-year-old son works up at a little gym in town, and he makes $8 an hour, and I think that's about what minimum wage is here. But he's 16 years old. You know, he's not running the floor of a manufacturing facility or, overseeing half a dozen workers. It's just a little part-time job for him to help the people out there when they need some help. And that's all the minimum wage was designed to be. Not that they really should have their fingers in that anyway, as far as the government goes, but they do. But then they turn it, and it's another step toward socialism. It's another step toward their goal of that guaranteed $1,000 or $2,000 a month income. We've seen that rear up this last year in 2020, trying to get that pushed through. But it is. It's part of the socialist agenda. But anyway, we were talking about it, how it does the exact opposite of what they say it's for. But many people are, you know, they're posting on social media, they're sending emails. A lot of the talk is, you know, if you want more money per hour above minimum wage, you have to get more skills and more experience. And see, that equation, that part of the equation has been taken out by the government to where it's just, no, we will take care of you. And that's where it's headed to. I think that's their ultimate plan and goal. And then even then it won't be to take care, but that's what it sounds like. So, well, Jason, you were explaining that GameStop mess to me a little earlier this week. Is that something you want to talk about this morning, or
I'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay. All right. That was kind
of, you know, it's like what you were saying, Paul. It's like it's interesting. I mean, I know a lot of people that have basically taken their children home. One of the good things that, you know, they just started opening the schools up, and they did this swing shift, and they want people to start going back to school, but they want them to go, you know, 2 days a week, or 2 days a week this week, 3 days a week next week, and then do a swing shift. And, you know, I was talking with a kid yesterday, and he was just telling me how horrible it was. And, you know, practicing social distancing, and he said basically it's run like a commune. And, there's people that are pulling their kids out of school left and right. And, you know, they're just done with it. And, you know, they're going to get them an education one way or another. They're going to teach them how to do life skills. And you start seeing stuff like that. It's like it doesn't play into their agenda, but it's you know, we know who's in control, so it's kind of exciting.
You know, I remember Peter saying one time, you know, there's homeschooling and all this stuff. He says there's something superior to all that, and that's called self-education. You know, and that goes back to reading and writing arithmetic. You should give a child that. You know, make sure he has that so he can read and he can write and do his math. And after that, turn him loose. He'll be able to do what God had him to tend to do. You know, he'll have his own interest. That's the way people, it always amazed me. You go out and get on the expressway. how does that traffic get spread out all like that? And everybody just don't leave at the same time, you know? I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on that you start looking around. But the point is, I taught myself. I got through high school. I got a diploma. I don't know where it is. But everything else has been self-education. So you read, you study, and you find out and make a lot of mistakes.
And that's part of that education. That's part of it.
Yep.
Of making mistakes and learning how to improve and how to do better. And I heard on the radio yesterday, the Poudre School District, that's down there around the church and whatnot, that they were begging the state not to make them do their tests. And it was just because they know that they're standardized tests, that they have to have the children in there brainwashing them and pounding that, you know, this is the answer to the test. This is the answer to the test. Not teaching, but brainwashing and, you know, coercing them along the lines of these standardized tests. And they were telling the school board that they did not want to, you know, when they start opening back up, they did not want to, they couldn't do these standardized tests. And it's because they know that if they, because the children aren't educated and the tests aren't set up that way. They're not set up to test the IQ of the student or how smart or, you know, that the student is. It's how they do on their standardized tests. And it's always been that way. And anyway, I just thought it was interesting that they were, you know, you would think that they would want to at least test and then, okay, this is where we're at. So this is where we need to get. But it's just not, they don't think about it that way. And they were like, no, we don't want to test the children. We can't do that.
Well, they don't want people smart. They don't want them thinking for themselves. They don't want them planting their own garden and doing their own thing. You know, they want to sell them that food. You know, the major slaughterhouses are running full bore, but you get a local butcher, it's pretty rare. It's all been moved out of our hands. I think it's going back there, but that's what happens to us. People serve the wrong God. They think, you know, I told the guy, he told me 216, he said, the people have the government they deserve, and that's an absolute fact. What do you expect from the government? There's only two things that the civil government is commissioned to do in the Bible, and that's reward righteous and punish evil. That's the only thing they're supposed to do. It gets rid of Social Security, it gets rid of everything. This whole Babylonian system, it sucks. It has its good points. I mean, you know, the people don't take care of their own no more. And we had a little restroom down the road here, and my dad was in there. He had the surgery and stuff, and he had to go in there for a couple of weeks and stuff. And I'd go down there, and we got to talking to people, and there was people in there that had family, had never seen their family in years. They just stuck them away and forgot about them. So we have a very cold side to our society that's really quite sick. And I had talked to a guy the other day. He's a farmer up north, and anyway, he was just kind of put out. He has a neighbor, a millionaire, and he's down in the food lines getting free food. And another neighbor's going to the casino regularly and going and getting free food. You know, it's sick.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah, the heart of man is sure grown cold.
The pulpits are dead because the Bible says if a man don't work, you don't eat. And all butts are in a sermon that's been preached to in a long time from that pulpit, you know.
Yeah, everything you. It seems like everything you hear is, you know, it certainly is watered down. But whether it's in the pulpits or, you know, your Christian radios, you try to, and again in traveling, I try to flip the radio station through and just hear what's being said, and it's all just, you know, Jesus died for you. Accept Jesus. Accept Jesus. Accept Jesus. And that's it. That is the end. That is the beginning, the middle, the end. That's all of it. That's all of it. And I was talking with a guy the other day, and I said, well, you know, I understand we have to have Jesus, and we're saved by the blood of Christ and you know, by faith. But what then? What do we do then? How do we live then? What do we do then? And he just kind of looked at me with the deer in the headlight look. You know, well, he didn't know. He hadn't been told. And that's what a big part today too, is that the even for those that get the feed that they get, the food that they get, the word that they get is so watered down, it doesn't even pass for milk anymore. And it's just a shame that it's that way. But you're right, Paul. People aren't told. They aren't preached. You know, the book we carry, The Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution. You know, if you don't have that book, folks, I encourage you to write for it and request it. It lets us know, just in our history, just a few hundred years ago, what was coming out of the pulpits here in America. And it wasn't what's coming out of the pulpits today. But it was what encouraged the people to have this country and to fight for this country. And they did. Some did, anyway. And, you know, I just have to think that it was truer and closer to the Word of God than this most of the pablum that comes out today.
Well, actually, the preachers started that war. You know, they had the spirit strength to do it, you know. What's really going on terrible now is the TV got into our house and really altered our thinking. You know, back in my generation, it's really perverted already, and it's just coming to a head where it's just nonsense now. I mean, I don't have cable or nothing, but I do have that regular TV you can get transmitted yet, and there's absolutely nothing to watch on there.
No.
Once in a while, it'd be a decent show on PBS, you know, a documentary or something,
right,
that's always slanted to the system. But
it always is. And pushing the climate change. Oh, it's all climate change, climate, and that's all we're hearing now. I saw a nice quote today from a what's the term we use today? Black man, colored man. That he said, you know, what the enemy is doing, what these demon rats are doing, is they're using race and climate change to usher in socialism. And I thought, you know, it's pretty neat that other people are seeing that as well. And that was a headline from a, you know, I don't know if he's a black prophet, but probably a black journalist or. So it's good that other people are seeing that. That's where I think, you know, some eyes are being opened to this mess that's going on. I think if people would read, Brother Marlin posted a note that said, you know, if you keep telling people they're not the people of the Bible, why should they read the Bible? And I thought that was pretty interesting, and it's true. You know, very few have time for the Word today, but if the people would read even Matthew 23, you know, Christ explaining the Phariseeism. And you know, it's in there that we have all the woes. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. But I think the very beginning of it so aptly points to how it is today. Matthew 23, Jesus spoke to the crowd, and he said, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. And that's what these hypocrites, these liars have done today. They put themselves in the position of the lawgiver, of the ruler, of the king, you might say. But not just that position, but all through our government, they've done that. It's like when the Assyrian rose up and superseded the Egyptian government. And then it got real bad for the Hebrew children, for the Israelites. But Matthew 23, it goes on here, verse 4, it says, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. And that's what we've seen, and that's what we continue to see, and that's what I think people's eyes continue to be opened. That's what these that are in the seat of Moses, these rulers, these elected officials, you might say, that these career politicians, that's what they've done. These burdens, you know, in many places, you can't protect your family with firearms, but I have armed guards. And you have to pay your taxes and follow these rules, but they don't. And you have to follow these rules, you know, as we've lined out, but they don't. And that's been going on forever. It's really been prominent since World War II. But the people are starting to see it. It's coming to light. And people are seeing, even without reading this, that the hypocritical nature of these people. And that's good. It's a stage of waking up. It's a movement in the right direction. You know, when you have Judeo-Christian neighbors come up to you and tell you that, you know, the Pope is behind all this. So much of this has to do with the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church over there in Rome and all that. When you have Judeo-Christian friends telling you this, you know, and what really blows them away is when you say, yeah, our pastor was talking about that Sunday in church. See, people are there is an awakening. Now, it's not a tidal wave across the nation yet, but there is an awakening. I had another neighbor last year tell me, you know, there's five families that own the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is not part of the U.S. government at all, and they just create money out of nothing and loan it to the U.S. government, and we have to pay all that interest, and they control all this, and, you know... I sit there and go, wow, really? Okay, yeah, that's pretty interesting. As a matter of fact, we've got a room full of books about that over here and have for 30 years. But I'm glad you're seeing that now. It things are changing.
You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that. You should just let him explain it to you and just keep him digging. No, don't give him the answer. This is like the school system.
Right. But it just is good.
He's looking.
Right, it's good. People are asking. You know, people, some, it's that one here and two there. It's not all of them, but some are. And that is encouraging. I like how you started it, Paul. Yeah, you look at the Word. The Word is good. The Word tells us what it is. You know, the word tells us there's
And you were talking about...
Go ahead.
You were talking about Matthew... You will never understand the Bible until you start in Genesis, and then you can see the two different people, you know, the sons of God and the sons of man, and that's wars that are going on. But to really understand the Bible, you have to start in front, you know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're four witnesses. It's the same story, basically.
Yes.
You know, but, I mean, yeah, you got to start wherever you're at. But if you're gonna figure it out, you better go back to Genesis. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Paul, the 2021 Bible reading plan that we put out, it does that. It's Old Testament and New Testament every day, and it started on January 1st in Matthew 1 and Genesis 1, and it finishes up. Well, it's in Matthew 20 this week, and toward the end of Exodus as well. But you're absolutely right. You have to. You really need to start in the beginning. And then have an understanding of who the people are, and it's a whole different story.
I can't find. I got it marked in my other Bible, but somewhere it says, I think it's in Micah, is your sins will correct you, and that's what's going on right now.
I agree with that. That's very well put.
Yes.
Well, that's scripture. It ain't me.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much stuff. And you look at what's going on in the financial world, too, and it's people are getting fed up. And, you know, one of the things that we're seeing so much right now is censorship and, you know, people that are getting things taken down. And, you know, there's other people that say, well, I put a scripture on Facebook, and they didn't take it down. Well, but there's been a lot of them that have been taken down, and they have censored a lot of things like that. You know, they don't want people getting back into the words, and they've done a really good job of censoring the Word of God in the churches across this land, too. You know, it's, you know, they don't know the law of God. They don't know who they are. You know, how can you have, you got an instruction manual written for a group of people, and they don't even know who they are, or that book's written to them, then it's pretty hard for them to understand what sin is and how to live their lives, and that there's things in there that they got to do. you start getting back to the roots and, you know, teaching people that they are the people and this is the land, and things are going to change in a hurry. And that's one of the things that I'm encouraged about. And, you know, encouraged about a lot of these things that we're seeing on the financial front, too, because Babylon's coming down. I mean, you see people that are standing up, and, you know, one of the things, you know, the Bed Bath & Beyond dropped 36% this week, you know, and that was the first time that they've shown, that was the biggest loss that they've had since June of 92, since they opened. And, you know, the reason that they, that their stocks plummeted is because people just had enough, and they got fed up when Bed Bath & Beyond said that we're not going to have Mike Lindell's product in our store, and they canceled his contracts. And that was the pillow guy that basically employed 1,500 people, or I think it was 1,500. I don't know, it might be a lot more than that. But it was a lot of people, and was a U.S. company that wanted, the guy had a heart for his people, wanted to put jobs into the hands of the people, wanted to create U.S. jobs, and had a U.S. company that stood up for what he believed in and wasn't afraid to say it. Well, they couldn't have that, so they had to pull it out of the stores. Well, it cost them, it ended up costing them a pile of money. I mean, 36% on your stock shares, that's a lot of money. That's a big loss.
Yes.
And, you know, people are like, you know, they've had it. And it's like, okay, well, we don't have to support you. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is backfiring them on Wall Street, which is exciting because, you know, it was there as people that are up in arms. And basically this last week, it was with what Wall Street did and the SEC did, there is a lot of people, it woke a lot of people up. I mean, it woke a lot of people up. It was like walking over and grabbing that hornet's nest and shaking it up and bouncing it on the ground like a basketball, because people got mad. They got mad, they got angry. And it was over the GameStop. And I know that there's probably a lot of people that are tired of hearing about it, but this is huge. And I've been following this from the beginning, and I know several people that got in on the GameStop frenzy and did really well. They got in, they got out, and basically it started as a on Wall Street Bets, a Reddit group that is young, basically uneducated stock investors that get together and chat about what they were doing, and they noticed that there was some of these big hedge fund companies that were shorting a company, and basically to the verge of probably going to put it out of business. Stock was you know, around $9 a share, and you know, at one point in time it was $498 a share. It went up over 1,800% in the last couple of weeks, and there was people and that were buying it, and they were going to run it up. They were basically going to, the plan was to run it up to $1,000 a share. And, you know, well, they couldn't have that because basically there was so many of these hedge funds were losing billions. These Jew bankers were losing billions and billions and billions of dollars. And, they had to stop it. They stopped it. They, basically, but Robinhood, and I can't remember all the names of them, but Robinhood was one of the ones that, you know, came out is a trading platform that a lot of people use. It's very convenient. It's easy. It's supposed to be, you know, for everybody, simple to use. And they basically say, okay, all of a sudden they come out and they say, you can't buy stock, but you can sell it. Well, it's a supply and a demand deal, and everybody was trying to buy. And, everybody that was on the bandwagon was trying to buy. And it was costing those bankers so much money, these hedge fund accounts, so much money that they stopped it. I mean, and they stopped, just completely stopped it. And, you know, it was the first time that that I can ever remember that the Democrats, Republicans are actually agreeing on something. And they're like, they're coming out and they're like, hey, this is wrong. This is wrong. You're basically, it's, you know, how can you completely control a stock? Which we know they don't. They don't play by the rules. The rules are designed for them. I mean, we've been in this long enough to understand that that's the way it is. It's like they want to come and they want to play ball, but when you start winning, they take their ball and they go home. Well, that's what they did. But it still cost them a pile of money, and I think it was a really good move, and I thought it was really interesting because now there's a lot of people that just got woken up over that deal, and you know they're figuring out, hey, this system is rigged and it's fake and they don't play by the rules. Well, that's what we've been telling people for a long time, and they're getting firsthand experience with dealing with it. So Babylon's coming down, and that's exciting to see.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we have the phone lines open. 307-745-5913. Saturday morning, December 30th. You may hear this broadcast at other times. We do record it and play it at different times as well, at different frequencies. But right now, the phone lines are open. And Paul, Micah, oh, Lord, if people would just read Micah. There is so much in it. And yet it begins out, hear, O peoples, all of you, listen, O earth, and all it contains, and let the Lord God be a witness against you. And that's what it is. His word is a witness against us. Just like when Christ came, he said, oh, I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it. But the next line he says, but my word judges. Because the word is truth. The word is what we have to follow. And because they I think it ties right in with what Jason was saying. We've got this Babylon built up around us, and these people of Babylon, these hypocrites, these Pharisees and Sadducees that, like Jason said, these billionaires that say, oh, we can make the millions. We can manipulate the stock market. We can run businesses down and shorts and calls and all that. I don't understand that mess, but we can do all this and make the billions, but you can't. That's for us, not you. And that's that spirit of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. And Rush Limbaugh did a great job this week showing how that is exactly how the current political situation is. That the insiders, how dare somebody like a businessman that is not an insider politician, how dare he get elected? How dare he come in and start running things and changing everything? We can't have that. And again, it just is another point that shows why the left, why those that are so hell-bent on destroying America, why they hate Donald J. Trump. I saw a headline this morning. It said that the Dems are more afraid of Donald Trump now than ever before. That was today's headline. And so, you know, there's still things going on behind the scenes. Anyway, Paul?
I forgot.
Oh, sorry. But anyway, I was saying it's Micah. Right. You know, you're absolute. The word, I mean, it leads and guides and directs. It just does. If the people would read it.
Well, you know, you talk about these people that Roman Catholics are starting to see that, but you see your local Baptist church and the one I was raised in, and all of them, Lutheran, all of them, I'm not leaving anybody out, I'm just not going to name them all, they all live by Roman law rather than Christian law. It's that simple. You know, and they want to keep you out of the Old Testament, the foundation of stuff, and read stuff like this. Well, they want you out of there. People say, I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, you just told me you're an idiot, is what you told me, because you have no foundation. He'd probably go and build a house and lay 2x6s down.
Yep.
You know? So, but yeah, you can, you know, it takes effort, and sometimes, you know, I needed somebody to, you know, I knew my Bible, I didn't understand it when I met Pastor Peters. So, sometimes you need somebody to show the way.
Yes.
Because most of the time, you know, Judeo-Christian, you read the Bible, and basically, it's like me reading a love letter from your wife to you, because, it, you know, it's kind of cool, but it ain't really for me once I realize it. You know what I mean? But no, if people read this book, and they're reading somebody else's love letter, they don't know who they are. Here in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And that's the right now today. Everybody else knows who they are. And, you know, we're pretty well hated overall. You know, we're about like old Joseph, but he was hated by his brothers. And these people know it. And that's why they want, you know, some of Trump comes out, I'm not saying I'm for him or against him, but he comes out and acknowledges Jesus Christ. If you read it, Seth, I mean, that kind of firmed it up for me because he said it, whether he's perfect or not. He's probably like me, he's not. But you know, he certainly is hated because, you know, he was on his way to, you know, getting rid of some stuff. And I think he'll get it done. Yeah, this ain't done. So I don't know why all them troops are in Washington, D.C., but they're there for a reason, and there are more coming, so I think something's up.
Yeah, something's up. Don't understand it, but, boy, there's that faith that comes in, right? There is that faith.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said about the people not knowing, I like that. Yeah, it is. It's, and the people don't realize that. They're reading what you said. They're reading a love letter, and they don't realize it's to them. They don't.
No.
Most of our people today, that I heard, again, flipping through the radio yesterday, heard some church down in Aurora, Crossroads or whatever it was, they got a deal out, and I've heard the pastor before, and he's talking about this, that God still loves his people Israel. He still loves it. Now, the pastor doesn't understand who Israel is. He's talking about the Israeli, the Jew over there. That you know, are not the people, the Hebrew and Israelite people of the Bible, but he had part of it right. He said, you know, there's this whatever it was out in the land that talks about that the church is now Israel. Everything's been spiritualized, and he said that's not true. I don't believe that. We don't teach that. He said God still loves and has a plan for his people, and I thought, you know, out of the mouth of babes, even this guy's been preaching for 30 years, he doesn't understand, but that truth came out. That truth. Now, he doesn't understand the rest of it, but that part of the truth came out, that no, it hasn't been spiritualized. He still has a people. He still has this love letter to his bride that he died for. And when the people start understanding that, that's what it's going to take, I think, to change. You said that a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night prayer meeting, that's what it's got to take, is the people to realize who they are and that this word is written to them. And they're not just the redheaded stepchildren, that they are the heirs of the promise.
I was raised in a church that taught the Abrahamic covenant, and it was actually really very accurate. But the only thing is, we were Gentiles grafted in. I mean, that's all you had to do was make a small mental change, and that was right there.
Yes. Yep. Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines here. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello.
Good morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
I was sitting there listening this morning and enjoying the program and just thinking about all the different things that you all are talking about. And it just occurred to me as of late that we should be thanking God for the current administration and for the moving that he's doing throughout our land, opening people's eyes. I tell you, if you can't talk to somebody now about the current events and what's really going on in the Bible, probably need to look at where you're standing, because to me, people are so much more open to receiving the truth. And, you know, you can talk about things now with average folks that used to be, you had to have some crazy like us to be able to talk to them about,
yes,
you know, just a few years ago. And, so I had that thought in mind, and I was going to call in with that, but I got to pull out, on top of a hill here at the house to be able to have phone service. And so I pulled up here on the hill and was thinking about that in comparison to where we're at. You know, what you see around you, is your perception, and your perception comes from where you're at, from your point of view. And if you're down in the valley, things are going to look a lot more, a lot different, and a lot more bleak than if you're where you're supposed to be on that rock, which is Christ. So I think it's important for people to look in at themselves and look at where we're at as a Christian in your walk and your faith. And if I'm not saying that we shouldn't be troubled, but this isn't a time to fear. It's a time to fight and to continue to move forward and shout that cry, "No king but King Jesus." Things are happening. We see it around us, and it should be an encouragement to us, because their system is falling. They're in a sinking ship with holes all in it, and they're trying to plug them as quick as they can, but as soon as they get one plug, three more open up. That's what I see.
Yes. Amen.
No, I agree 100% with you, Josh, and it's exciting to see, and it's, you know, we need to focus on our families and focus on what's happening, and God's got us on a path, and he's still in control of everything, and, you know, we need to have faith, and you know, those Gideon's soldiers of old, they got weary at times, but though weary, they pressed on. And, you know, we've got to smile at the future, and I think that there are so many things that are coming up that are exciting to be a part of. There's people that are depressed and being brought down by it, but, you know, that's to their destruction. And, you know, our enemies are in an uproar. And we see there's just so much stuff going on right now, but there's so many things that are being brought to light, and it's an exciting time to live in. I mean, this is basically, it's equivalent to the Revolutionary War, as far as I'm concerned. It's you know, it's some of the most exciting times that we've had in a long time to live in, and it's awesome to be a part of it.
Yeah, and, you know, to the idea of the social distancing, I do agree that it is good for us to gather as a people, but we're kind of used to not being able to do that all the time, you know. And the thing about that gathering and listening to other folks is that you're listening to other men, you know. And thankfully, we live in a land where there's no shortage of Bibles in the Word. So if you get to feeling lonely, sit down and get in that Word, and God will speak to you, and he will fill you with that Holy Spirit, and it all for guidance that isn't flawed like men's guidance are. There he is.
Yes.
He is seek and you shall find.
I think it's interesting, like you were saying, you know, that the fact of them coming against us with the social distancing, it's been good for a lot of people to just back up, you know, and it's untangled their lives out of all these, well, not all, but a lot of these time-consuming things that they used to be in, you know. And when you fall out of that rat race, it's a shock for a little while. But then a lot of folks have realized, hey, that they like having a little more time to spend with family and kind of getting back to a simpler life, you know, than like it is on that treadmill.
Yes. Yeah, some people are just that. They have realized, and we should rejoice that hey, wait a minute, this rat race, they've been home. Like Jason said, they're pulling kids. They're not going back to school. They're not letting their children go back to school. They're doing something else. There's a new Christian school opened up here in Laramie that surprised the heck out of me just in the last part of last year. And so there's a lot going on. There are people that are, you know, the rumblings are happening. The people are yawning and rubbing their eyes and stretching and awakening.
I think what's going on is there's a transfer of frustration. See, they're trying to maintain Babylon, and we're seeing it going down. And I don't really think we understand the shoes that we're in sometimes, because Babylon is going down, and they're struggling for their life too. And they're parasites. They live off everything we do. you know, this country didn't just get there. If the church were alive back in 1913, we'd never had an income tax, because the Bible says don't withhold a man's wages overnight. Now, that means a penny or 10,000. And that was how the war started. The tax on the tea was so minimal, it didn't amount to nothing. But I had a guy here, a farmer, you know, they came down on him. They wrote an article in a paper up north, and his dad came from Europe, I believe, and they said he was part of the Ku Klux Klan. They just smeared him, you know. And he has a roadside fruit stand, and, well, that's a restaurant there. It's really immaculate place. It's just first class, first you do. Well, I see him a few days later. Man, he was down in the dumps. But his business skyrocketed, you know. His store just went crazy, and I haven't talked to him. But he has a lot of apples he sells in a, you know, down the chain of a commercial market. And, well, the guy he sold to called him up and said, "Hey, Richard, we just can't take your apples. We're taking too much heat." But the last time I see him, he was running that pack line. I never seen him smile so great. So they're going somewhere. But see, that's the thing. We don't realize when, just like you talk about Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's, they're kick that pillow out of their store, and it's probably going to destroy them, because the American people are looking for the truth, and they have clout in their, how they spend their money. And every one of us does. I'm going to go buy a couple pillows just to help that old guy out. I'd like to know. I'll bet his business skyrocketed.
Yeah.
They ain't going to report it on the news, but, I mean, you just look at some of the undertow that's going on. Some things are really good. You know, love your neighbors yourself, you know, and this is the trouble with the big box stores. All the profit goes to the corporate headquarters, and it's destroying our country. Amazon, which should shoot that bastard. He's just destroying a local business left and right.
Amen. Well, he learned from, you know, Walmart. I think Sam Walton had the right idea, but when he got out, it all changed. I can remember when the Walmart opened down in Auburndale, Florida, little podunk where I grew up. And they used to have signs up, you know, they'd have a new product, and hey, this sweater created 412 jobs in Roanoke, West Virginia, you know, or these light bulbs were put together in Seattle, whatever it was, and they started out creating and using American jobs. But it slowly changed, and it is all gone now. And so they learned from the best. They learned from.
Well, and, you know, the thing is we drive that change with our sin and with our disobedience. But in the case of Walmart, you know, whenever you demand the lowest prices, then you don't care where it comes from. If it all comes from China, that's fine. As long as it's 33 cents cheaper, then that's what they're going to put there. You know, we do it to ourselves, everything that comes down the line. God wants to bless us. It's just we stand in his way.
Yes. Yep. Choose you this day, right? Isn't that what it comes down to? Choose you this day. What are you going to feed? What choice are you going to make? Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to be a slave to? I remember that from Pastor Peters when he told it, and I think he mentioned it a week or two ago. We're all slaves. We're either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. And he said that many times, you know, those that don't gather with me scatter. You're either for me or against me. It's just that simple. There is no well, but it really is that way. Well, guys, we're all but out of time. Josh, I appreciate you calling in, driving up to the top of the hill so you had service. We sure appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. Enjoyed it.
All right. God bless. Well, Paul, thank you so much for taking time and joining in. And anytime. You said thanks for asking, and, you know, that it's always an open invitation for you, brother.
Okay. All right. I'll wait for your text.
There
Sorry,
you
I
go.
I missed you Wednesday night. I certainly could have done it, but I just didn't get it. So.
That's all right. Yeah, that doesn't always work. So, well, Remnant, we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. You can do that at scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. and 7:30 on the West Coast. Don't want to forget you guys. But we'd love to have you come join us at church. You can do that again at scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream. And again, it may not be in person, but it's not because of this COVID that I can tell you that. But Pastor saw, again, years ago, a way to be able to gather with the saints, even though we're scattered all over. So, well, God bless. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha!
Ha! Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.